Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to a brand new episode of Rewind, Replay, Record. My name is Brian, and hey, you're doing great. Don't let anyone tell you differently. Unless you're doing drugs, then knock it off, Greg. Who's joining me today?
Well, it's Daniel, as always.
And it's Edwin, as always.
Awesome. Great. How you doing, fellas?
Not too bad.
Pretty good.
Excellent. Let's just start right in, just because there's a lot to talk about. We've had some downtime and such. We'll talk some Mando. We'll talk some Watchmen as well. But first, Edwin, I wanted to get your opinion. You were just telling me off mic or off the call area thing that you watched a movie recently.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like 2 years old. Hell and High Water.
Yeah,
starring the fabulous Chris Pine and Ben Foster.
Which Jeff Bridges. Yeah, no, it's a great movie. You said that it was like a nice palate cleanser.
Yeah, this was the first movie I watched after watching the Star Wars films. So it was a nice, just slow, not slow, takes its time, simple plot, under an hour and 40 minutes. And just interesting about like these two brothers in Texas just robbing banks just to save the family's land, which is very well done. And then Jeff Bridges is the sheriff, the one after them. And, it's like really good. It's from, I think it's based on the book from the same author that also wrote No Country for Old Men. So it has that, the sheriff going after the robber kind of storyline.
Yeah.
But it was really good.
Yeah, it was, I remember that coming out a few years ago, and it's a movie, like, really by its time, for its time and such, about, like, towns that are basically decimated, the bank is the enemy, and everything there and such, just circumstances and whatnot, and Ben Foster is killing it as always. He, how that guy has never gotten an Oscar is beyond me. I don't understand it, because he's always amazing in everything he's in.
He's intense. He's kind of, he wasn't as crazy as the remake of 310 of Yuma with Christian Bale.
Yeah.
He was terrifying, I think, in that one.
Like, yeah.
Good. I mean, he did really good. He acted well. But yeah, he's just a good character actor.
Yeah, no, I haven't really seen him as of late in anything. I haven't really seen him much in anything, which is sad.
It's kind of nice not having an actor part of a superhero franchise.
Yeah.
He could very much if he really wanted to.
Well, he always was. He was Angel.
He was Angel, that's right. But then that did so terribly, and then he went back to the well.
He was the interesting part of X3.
Really?
That movie started off strong.
Okay.
Kid in the bathroom, trying to shave his wings off, and it's all bloody mess and stuff to hide it from his dad and stuff.
He was using like a cheese grater or something.
Yeah. He was using like a cheese grater and nail thing. It was
disgusting. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I like how they shot it as if he was getting caught masturbating.
Yeah.
That role played, but no, he has wings and his dad catching him. No.
Close the door.
Like, man, it's not that bad. He wasn't touching his pee-pee or anything. He was just cutting off his wings. What? I could say pee-pee. It's fine. It doesn't say, I'm sorry. Penis.
But I wonder if, like, I think it would have been hilarious if, like, the dad walked in and been like, Jesus, why aren't you masturbating? Or like, oh, I wish you were masturbating.
There's instead so much find, blood.
Instead of finding the wings.
Your mom can see you now. Why can't you be like your brother and just be gay? Why do you have to be a mutant?
You know what? Honestly, in those movies, they really hammered that point in.
Good. But then it doesn't go anywhere after that. Then you don't see him from half the movie.
Yeah, you see him. Show up and go, I'm going to Xavier's school, and then show up at Xavier's school and go, hey, I'm here. And they're like, we're not taking any new people. And then him coming in later.
And then a different movie starts happening.
Yeah.
Oh no, The Cure. It does have good elements. Then they decide to get The Cure, and Rogue wants The Cure so she can touch other people.
Iceman, yeah.
Well, Iceman was pretty cute.
He was, yeah, he was dreamy. Speaking of Oscars and everything, because that was Oscars and whatnot, this week the Academy Awards nominations were announced. Does anyone care?
No, because I don't, it's I thought that was like a stupid award because it's only for white people or something. But then they're like, uh-oh, too many white people are winning for the past ever since it's been around. So we're going to now give it to everyone else, which I'm not going to say they don't deserve. A lot of them do deserve, but there has been some that are like, okay, that was
careful, Daniel. Careful.
I kind of want to know which one didn't deserve.
Wasn't it last year, the year before, whatever, Best Picture was like, it was kind of like, fuck, I can't remember what it was. There's some where one movie won and everyone was like, okay, that shouldn't have won. Like there was a far
Green
better.
Book.
Was that last year?
Last year, Green Book, which is the most middle of the road, whatever movie, won Best Picture. And yeah, it's like this very Driving Miss Daisy, your parents will love this type of movie. And that won, and everyone was like, what the hell? Let me bring up the nominees for that year. Go ahead.
No, it's just funny how it's always like the movie that I haven't seen that kind of wins sometimes.
Yeah,
like the one movie that I don't see.
So last year, the nominations were Bohemian Rhapsody, The Favorite, Black Panther, Black Klansman, Green Book, Vice, A Star Is Born, and Roma. And Green Book won it.
Wait, Black Panther, like Marvel Black Panther?
Yeah, that was nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah,
that was a good movie.
Yeah. So better than Green Book, I'll say that. And I haven't seen Green Book.
You can't say that.
Oh, sorry.
This is true. You can't say that. That's like, you can't do that.
Yeah, watch it and then say it.
That's like me saying that.
But then I have to watch Green Book.
Then watch Green Book. Just really, it's Best Picture. It can't be that
bad. I'll just read the Wikipedia. So let's. This year was kind of middle of the road too. A little. Yeah, there's a couple surprises. You got Ford v Ferrari.
I still need to see that.
I need to see that too.
Ford v Ferrari: Dawn of Justice, The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit. Mm-hmm. Little Women, Marriage Story, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Parasite, 1917, and the Clown Prince himself, Joker.
I haven't seen 1917, which I want to see.
I just watched that.
So we can talk. I didn't know Netflix movies were going for Best Pictures now.
Yeah, Roma, that was last year, which should have.
I don't even know what a Roma is.
It's a beautiful story about Alfonso Cuarón.
I don't even know what Alfonso Cuarón is.
Alfonso Cuarón.
He's one of the best directors living right now.
That nobody knows about.
Yeah, he helped. The reason why Harry Potter looks like it today and it's a success today, Alfonso Cuarón.
On his defense, it is the best Harry Potter movie out of all of them to me.
Yeah.
If I have to pick out of how many are there? Sudi, how many are there?
23.
23 movies?
There's 8 movies.
Oh, 8 movies. Yeah, the best out of 3 is the best out of all of them.
You're going to lose a girlfriend very quickly, Edwin, saying that shit.
No, part 3? No.
What? 23?
Wait, is it really? I thought you meant like books. I'm like, wow, I didn't know about this.
Hey, why haven't we seen all
actually,
these?
Actually, part 3, really quick, kind of going back to the whole angel getting caught masturbating. Yeah. In Harry Potter, in the third one, the opening scene is Harry kind of underneath the blanket, like trying to do like forbidden spells, which also is kind of a significance of masturbating. I'm just throwing it out there for all those Harry Potter fans. That's what the director was going for. Yes, it is. Open your eyes, sweetie.
We've had this fight before.
Open your eyes.
God. Open your eyes. He was jerking off.
But the best.
So what did you think of 1917? Because that's something I've been wanting to see.
You know, I mean, It was good. I mean, I think I forget that the gimmick is it's supposed to look like one continuous shot.
Yeah.
So it flows throughout the whole movie. I think it works because the story is basically about these two British soldiers in World War One delivering a message on the other side of the land that they were at before these soldiers go into battle, because it's kind of like a setup.
It's like a German.
So that's what the whole movie is, just these two people going through, like, you know, just
no man's land.
Places that are dangerous or supposedly be abandoned. But man, I mean, it was good. It kind of was like any other movie, kind of felt like, not like Dunkirk or, well, I guess kind of like that, but just more simpler. It wasn't until the end where I felt like there was some good suspense, because they did a good job kind of like, will he make it? Will he deliver it during this big battle?
Mm-hmm.
Which I won't ruin. But yeah, overall, I mean, it was, you know, it was entertaining.
That's good. That's all you can really ask.
The performance weren't all that, you know, great. But the wowness is the thing that you take from it was like, oh, wow, they kind of made it look like one continuous shot.
But do you, so it's constantly like, moving. The one thing about like war movies and stuff, I don't want an over the top acting. Like, I don't need some dude overdoing it, you know, because it kind of gets me out of the zone. It's kind of like, okay, you're like,
I'm going to do this. This is courtesy of Uncle Sam. That's right. Uncle Sam. And I'm here to.
Well, maybe it's like British soldiers, they weren't over the top. There's not much talking in it. It's just them kind of like climbing, sneaking around the field. So that was done very well. There was like a moment where it kind of felt a little slow for me. The soldiers run into a woman that is hiding a baby. So that was kind of a resting moment in the movie. Then after that, the camera just keeps going and things flying everywhere. But it was, you know, but it's done very well. There was a jump scare. Something happened that cut, that surprised me. But it made me laugh at the same time, because it was kind of like a joke in the movie, a little joke in the movie.
Yeah.
But it made me jump. But yeah, overall, it was like really good. Wasn't too bad.
Yeah, I've been meaning to check that out. So Joker actually leads the pack with 11 nominations. Also nominated for Joaquin Phoenix for Best Actor, and also Best Director, Todd Phillips. That's actually kind of the... one thing everyone's been talking about is the Best Director field, because it is just a bunch of dudes. The Irishman, Martin Scorsese, Todd Phillips, Sam Mendes for 1917, Quentin Tarantino for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Bong Joon-ho for Parasite are the directing nominees and everything. There were a lot of movies, actually, that were kind of like, you know, that were female-directed that... a lot of people are like, you probably could have nominated this instead of some other things, which I can kind of see. Because, like, Joker to me is, you know, I did enjoy it and everything, but directing-wise, it just seemed like Baby's first Taxi Driver. And I probably would have put in Lulu Wang, who did The Farewell, which was a movie I quite enjoyed that I brought up a couple times. Awkwafina was also snubbed for her performance, and that kind of sucked, but whatever. But yeah,
wow, you're pretty angry. I mean, okay,
boiling.
I agree. Right, I probably wouldn't have picked Joker either, but then you kind of have to rate it. Okay, what do you consider good directing? Like,
right.
Like, what I mean, you have 1917, which takes a lot of planning, and then you have, let's just throw in The Farewell.
Yeah.
Two different. Both did well. Both are doing different things. So how would you, Brian, determine who is better? Because they both do different things. Yeah, I would say 1917 would probably be more difficult to direct.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you do Farewell, I mean, I haven't seen Farewell. Another movie that's kind of like slower, and you have all these actors, and, you know, yeah. And hopefully, you know,
it's really, everything
comes together.
Yeah.
So how would you rate it?
Here's the thing. So, I mean, between those two things, and again, out of the movies I've seen here, I've seen Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Irishman, and Joker. Irishman, like Martin Scorsese, I did like The Irishman, but it's something I've seen before. But then again, you got to look at it with eyes of like, oh, it's a old director using new technology, I guess. I don't know. It's one of those things that's like, because then you get a certain point, like with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, it's like, but then with that, as I'm thinking about it, that's pretty good because the intensity of that one scene in the ranch, you know what's going to happen, and you're on pins and needles. So that's a good thing in achievement in Once Upon a Time in filmmaking. 1917, again, like you said, with that setup, just a one-shot where it tries to do a one-shot thing, that is a technical achievement and everything with that. But out of all these, I probably, again, like I said, I would probably remove Joker, put in, and this is put in Farewell, the Lulu Wang for the Farewell. But like you said, at that point, how can you compare something like that, which is a family dramedy, compared to this Perils of War thing? And that's what's been my problem with the Academy Award. That's what's been my problem with the Academy Awards for a while now, which is how do you compare something like Lord of the Rings, this epic told thing, to A Beautiful Mind, which is this character study? Like, you can't, it's hard to compare those two and say this is better than this, you know, because it's two completely different genres, essentially.
Right.
So, like I said earlier, I mean, with the Oscars and everything, it's hard to do that. It's hard to say this is better than this, because then you can come in and say, hey, what about this? And
it's a whole different movie. When the Oscars were made back in the whatever timey time, were there large amount of genres, or was it like a very small amount of genres? Like, you got your horror movies and you got your whatever movies, and then
it was mostly dramas and such.
I mean,
and
yeah. So
then you got fantasy stuff. Yeah,
the categories were smaller then, and I think as time went on, they added more technical stuff, you know, probably editing, and I think casting director was one of the newest categories in the Academy Awards.
Best stunt. Everyone's been saying there should be like a best stunt performance or best setup or an action scene or something for the Academy Awards, which is especially with stunt person, that's a hell of a lot of work. They could die, and people have died doing that, and there's no award for it. And for example, like Parasite, I haven't seen it. I want to see it. It looks like it's a great movie. I love that director. I love his past movies. That's nominated for Best Picture of the Year and Best Foreign Picture.
So it'll win Best Foreign, because that's usually
it'll win goes. Best Foreign. That means it's kind of a wasted slot in Best Picture, because that's usually how it goes. Is that if it's nominated for Best Picture and Best Foreign,
which then I don't understand, why do they do that?
Because they want to honor it. So they want to honor it. They want to give it. And plus, not only that, I think I don't know. Like, I don't get it. Again, it's a weird also voting system that, like, you can have the most votes, but because of that, you're cut short, and then the third place will go on top. So that's why you have
Ford v. Ferrari come out? That was like, wasn't that like October?
No, that was a few months ago.
Yeah, that wasn't that like December.
Yeah, yeah, that was like October. Well, a lot of these came out in December. Little Women came out December 25th. You know, Marriage Story technically came out officially this Friday.
I don't know. I just find it kind of like they're not going to, you know, some of these movies are going to get outshined in a way from the others, because it's just so new.
Yeah. It's, and you know, what,
honestly, and people,
and
people are going to ultimately are going to be like, oh man, yeah, you know, Jojo Rabbit was good, but goddamn, that Ford v Ferrari was like amazing. And then of course you're going to be like, well, yeah, that is pretty true. You got a point there. And then, oh, there it is. Like, I don't know. Why can't they just do, hey, from this time to this time?
Well, that was the problem with like Little Women and stuff. A lot of people were talking about how, like, for directing and stuff, not a lot of guys were going to go see Little Women. So that kind of hurt it, because it's Little Women. And there's that inherent, like, I don't need to see that. It's Little Women.
Get Big Women, then you got men.
Who changed it to Big Women? Big Mama's House did Big Mama Money.
Yeah.
And it did win the 1999 Best Picture Oscar.
Tyler Perry's Big Women.
Boom.
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 Or Tyler Perry's Little Women.
Maybe. Who knows?
You have little Tyler Perry's running around being a bunch of different women.
Oh, okay. Let's little being a bunch of different women. Yeah. It's the Eddie Murphy. It's Tyler Perry.
He's not getting any shit by taking all these like women jobs.
It's Tyler Perry's Nutty Professor, where he plays just a bunch of different women.
Isn't that his movies? Doesn't he?
He usually just does one.
The last one he did like three or four.
I think he's usually has two or three characters he plays, but it's always like the old dude and Madea.
Whatever, that's, I don't give a shit.
Okay. All right. Well, then, yeah. But also, to your point, it really all doesn't really matter because.
Nope.
It's just a fucking award, and who gives a fuck? Your movie
and, sucks. And also matters of who pays the more. Who pays more for advertisement and to the Academy. You have to buy in to be even nominated. So it's also whatever studio has the big bucks.
The big dollars.
That's right.
Thank you, Harvey Weinstein.
We don't talk about that anymore.
Oh, sorry. My bad. No, I was just looking at it doesn't really matter because name some of the best picture winners in the past 10 years. The past Artist.
10 years.
Everybody loves The Artist.
Nobody watches The Artist. Exactly. You have Green Book. You have La La Land. I'm sorry. Moonlight. Spotlight.
But yeah, so I mean, again, ultimately it doesn't really fucking matter because, you know, nobody's favorite movie is The King's Speech.
No,
just isn't. Because that was the year of The Social Network, if I remember correctly. And
that, I believe that should have won based on not only because it's a good movie, but I think it represent it a certain time.
Yep.
And just generation, I think, like, ooh, this is really good. Kind of made a stamp. But it didn't win for whatever reason. And nobody cared about The King's Speech. I know a few people did, and it's a good movie. I'm not knocking it. But compared to Social Network.
Exactly. No, exactly. It's like we're still talking about the effects of Facebook and stuff today. Anyway, let's move on. So I sent you guys earlier a news article this week. A couple days ago, Osaka, Japan announced that at Universal Studios Osaka, Nintendo's theme park, the Super Nintendo World, was announced and given a little bit more information. That's opening it up this summer in Osaka, Japan. And this place looks like a goddamn marvel, actually. You haven't really seen the land. A lot of it's just a trailer that's very heavily CGI. But some of the plans and everything for it seem pretty fucking cool theme park-wise. They announced a trailer featuring Charlie XCX, who I've never heard of. Galantis. Have you heard of these people, Edwin?
No.
Okay, I thought you were music. Okay, glad I'm not alone. We're officially old, by the way. But yeah, so they announced Super Nintendo World. Some of the features and everything they'll have is you'll be able to purchase magic wristbands that will track your progress and stuff in the park because it's one giant video game, it looks like. You'll be able to download an app on your phone where you can look at the park overview. And it looks like a Super Mario Brothers 3 type map or Super Mario World type map. Strewn around the park, there'll be like blocks that you can hit to earn coins, stars, do boss battles. It's one big giant interactive video game park, actually. And it looks pretty fucking cool for it. They also
raised my hand question.
Yes.
Okay. When is it coming to America?
It's coming to Osaka 2020 ahead of the Olympics, the Summer Olympics. It will be coming to America. They haven't set it a date yet. It'll probably come out next year or 2022. It'll be showing up to Universal Studios Hollywood at some point, and then also over in Florida at their new theme park, at Universal's new theme park over there, which also includes a Universal Monsters Land, possibly. So yeah, and also Singapore. It's also coming to Singapore. So you'll be able to go and run with Mario next year, possibly in Hollywood.
So what are they calling it? Super Mario World? Mario Land?
Super Nintendo World.
Super Nintendo World.
Yeah, Super Nintendo World. Looks like there's going to be a Mario Kart ride. Yeah, Mario Kart. In the trailer for the announcement, they showed what looked like the ride vehicle, and it looks like a big giant Mario Kart with six passengers, two in the front, two in the middle, two in the back. But not a lot is known about it just yet. From rumors and stuff, it sounds like it'll be like augmented reality type situation where you might wear glasses and think you'll see the real world and then characters, and you'll be racing against other characters like Bowser, Donkey Kong, other characters like that. But it's supposed to be pretty technically advanced. They haven't announced anything. Other rumors have been like a Yoshi ride or something for some reason. Yoshi's popular. I meant to say I don't know what type of ride it'll be. There's another rumor I heard there's a Donkey Kong roller coaster, like a minecart roller coaster, like Donkey Kong Country. Some sort of Zelda ride, Legend of Zelda ride or something. But nothing's been announced yet, just the land and just kind of the overview with this whole interactive element, which you're seeing a lot of theme parks do. Like I know at Galaxy's Edge at Disneyland, you can download the app and you can, scan, boxes and droids and stuff and either help the Empire, help the Resistance or help the First Order.
I'm not going to help either because they're both shit people.
Okay. I see Skywalker. The Rise of Skywalker still is hurting you, Daniel.
Well, I talked to our producer about it, and yeah. I got angry more again.
Well, at least we have, we do have some good Star Wars stuff in our lives, like The Mandalorian.
This is true. We got The Mandalorian.
Yes, that just wrapped up the season. A few weeks back, we haven't been able to talk about it and everything, but so the first season's in the bag.
Fellas, spoilers, if anyone hasn't seen it, spoilers. We're really bad at not doing this spoilers thing. We should rename this show Replay Record Spoilers, because that's, we do it, we do spoils, and then we go, uh-oh, spoiler alert.
After we gave up
spoiler.
The whole ending.
It's like, the crying game that, that guy, that chick's really a dude. Oh, spoilers.
Oh my God.
You're notorious. You are notorious for that, B-Ray.
Yeah. I don't give a shit. Anyway, what do we think about Mandalorian?
Spoilers. Spoilers. I thought it was really good. I think it ended well. There's only one episode that I didn't really care for, and that was the episode where he went on the ship to do the jailbreak episode.
Yeah, I felt like that was the one episode that stuck out, but not in a good way. Not that it was bad, just it felt like a TV. Really felt like a filler, like a TV show, like a Star Trek. I've never seen a Star Trek episode, but it reminded me something like that.
No. What it reminded me of was the Halloween episode of whatever said show you're watching. It's always Hollywood. It's like a Halloween or a Halloween filled episode that doesn't really go with the story of the fucking series anyways, but it's Halloween time. So they have to have a Halloween story.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like. It was just one of those, like, it had nothing to do with the story. It was just and I like it. I think you need that. I think that kind of gets people out of the, it'll kind of give them a, what the heck was that about? And then, back into the story. Like, I don't know.
I agree.
Problem. I think that maybe the problem was that may have been one too many episode or things away from the story. Because the one before that was, I believe, Tatooine.
Yeah.
And then before that, it was something else. So it kind of basically the story itself was like you had one episode 1-2, which is the main story, then a bunch of filler with a third one kind of like, okay, we got to keep running, and then a bunch of filler, and then the last two story again.
Yeah.
So it may have been that where it's not paced well enough. Because when
I watch it. No, I think it was fine. It was just the show that Daniel was talking about.
Yeah.
It was the first time where I was not paying attention to the show and made me think, wow, where is this going? Like, where's, like, this, okay, they're dragging this out. This is has nothing to do. Not to say that the other episodes, I felt like there was, they were trying to, you know, still running away, but had to deal with whatever little problem they run into in this planet. This one was like, here's these new characters out of nowhere.
It got till him getting on the ship for me to realize, oh, this has nothing to do with the story. Like, I was
right.
You know, something surely will jump in. And then, like, halfway through, I was like, fuck, this has nothing to do with, like, the story. Yeah,
nothing connected to the main characters, like, start. Again, I'm not knocking on the episode. It's not like it was terrible.
No.
It just felt, like, off.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I wouldn't have felt that way if other episodes were kind of like that. But this one...
You can't win them all.
Yeah, which is fine. But
I think they're also setting up this crew to be, like, the man for future seasons. This crew will come back and fuck with Mando over and over. I think they may be setting that up because he let them all live. They're all in the cell, and they'll probably want vengeance.
What
I feel like that was added on then.
Dude, yeah,
so random.
Huh?
I feel like we talked about this already. Didn't you guys bring up, like, it was kind of like the Breaking Bad episode of The Fly?
Yeah, okay. I briefly.
That was a good episode.
Yeah. Right. It is a good episode, but
it has nothing to do with the
No, but I still think it's great. But even then, season 3 of Breaking Bad, I'm like, okay, they're dragging this along a little bit.
Yeah,
like, where is this going? And then boom, it picks up again.
Yeah.
The last two episodes though were, I thought, I screwed up and thought that the episode 7 was the last episode of the season, and I was like, man, this is a good cliffhanger. And then I realized, like, a week and a half later, oh, shit, it did not end. There's still one more. I thought the first opener of the last episode was perfect with the speeder bike troopers.
Star troopers.
Their interaction.
That was hilarious. The thing.
It reminded me so much of the times when I was on the ambulance. Yeah, working with Mike or working with Tony and being not like it's just, you know, at some street corner, just talking shit about whatever, like someone walking by and being like, this piece of shit right here. I mean, it just reminded me so much of that type of like, I got it. I'm sure other people were like, oh, this is dumb. Oh, they're just trying to make, like, I'm sure some people didn't find it humorous, but I totally took it as, oh, if you work in my field, that's like, you can relate to that. Just sitting there.
I kind of like that aspect of stormtroopers that are just like regular dudes, like you said, just regular working class guys that are just like, I kind of fucking hate my job, but
then,
God, like, damn it. Like,
and then being, like, on the radio. Yeah. And they're like, okay, well, wait, it's still waiting.
And then it's like, and then the guy's God. Like, and the guy's just like, yeah, well, he just killed a bunch of people. I don't think I want to talk to him right now. Just come on.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it seems like that. And also, like, in Force Awakens, where the two stormtroopers are turning the corner and Kylo Ren's losing his shit. And they just kind of, like, turn around, like, nope. And they just turn around and walk away.
Oh, yeah.
Also, in the latest video game, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, you're sneaking around as a Jedi and you'll hear, like, conversations, like, across from, like, a hallway or some of the stormtroopers. And it's just, they're just talking like, hey, how long did it take you to do that object today? Hey, none of your business, you know? And it's just like, just back and forth bickering until they see you and they're like, oh shit, it's a Jedi. Fuck. What do we do? And, like, it's, I don't know. I really love that whole, like, just blue collar stormtrooper type.
Yeah. Thing.
I mean, and their target practice, just the whole...
The target practice, yeah.
Because stormtroopers are a joke, so that's what they're playing off of. And then I'm not shooting anything properly, like, the aim is always off. I'm like,
And the one guy's, like, looking at it and shakes it, and a bunch of shit's shaking around. And just, it's... And plus, not only that, this is after Return of the Jedi, so this isn't the B-team or this isn't the A team. This is like the D team of stormtroopers, what's left. And I kind of also really like that aspect too, because like in the first episode, you see stormtroopers and they're not polished. They're not anything. They're just like dirt all over their uniforms and shit. You don't know if they're actually stormtroopers or they're just a bunch of, you know, vagrants that just grab stormtrooper things because they look cool and stuff. It's a really, and that's what I really love about this show is that it's a very lived in show and a lived in universe for that. Just like the original Star Wars and Empire. Say what, I mean, everything looked lived in and like just, you know, put together with like a scotch tape and a hope, you know, kind of situation there.
I liked it. It reminded me of like being on the ambulance, like I said, and me and Mike trying to fucking throw rocks at a sign and seeing who can hit the sign. And I swear to God, you can go for like 45 minutes of throwing rocks at a sign and time flies. So it was just, I thought that was great. And then it went from there, it went right into, okay, well, how the hell are they going to get out of this?
The baby and you're like, I want this guy to die. And then here comes T-11 and you're like, yeah.
Oh, that was good. I really liked that. Him coming in for the rescue and shit.
Yeah.
But I also liked how they still got stuck. It wasn't like he came in and rescued and they got away. It was he came in, attempted to rescue, and they still got fucked and had to go back in the fucking building. And they're like, shit, all right, now we got to do this. I mean, that's I really enjoyed that aspect. It wasn't like they had to work to get out of that mess.
Yeah.
That being said, like the general or whatever, when he crashed, I already knew he didn't die. Yeah, yeah. I was like, oh, he's still alive. I don't know what's with the black sword that he has that fucking cuts, but whatever.
That is the black lightsaber. That is the lightsaber that was created by the first Mandalorian Jedi. You saw it first appear in the Clone Wars and also then in Star Wars Rebels. So this is the first time in live action form.
Oh, okay. Well, then there we go.
Problem lightsaber. Solved. Yeah.
Other than that, I think it went well. I think it was a good first season. I mean, for playing off just on the name Mandalorian, I think they did really well. It wasn't like they went into. I enjoyed the fact that he wasn't Boba Fett or a Boba Fett character of just an ultimate badass. Like he got his ass kicked a few times, and so a couple of those times was just luck that he just, you know, got the fight. Type of deal. So I kind of enjoyed that aspect.
Yeah, no, he's a regular dude. He's not going, I mean, he knows his shit. He knows how to get situations, but he still can get his ass beat, just like you said. But yeah, no, I've been kind of like you, I've been, after Rise of Skywalker, I've been kind of wanting to continue some Star Wars stuff just to get the bad taste of that out of my mouth. I've been watching the Clone Wars and been listening to Heir of the Empire audiobook, that General Thrawn trilogy of books that are not canon anymore. But again, Mandalorian, I really enjoyed it. New season 2020 fall.
I'll take
coming at you. Exactly. Hopefully, I think Jon Favreau's doing a really good job with that. And now that we have kind of a firmer grasp of what the show is and now how he's like the adoptive father until he finds his race or people that will take him and teach him. It's a good little story now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Edwin, anything else you want to say about Mando?
No, it was good.
Baller. All right, so I think another show that kind of also had a final episode as well for the season was The Watchmen. We first started talking about the first few episodes, the last cast. Me and Edwin had watched it at that point. Daniel hadn't. But Daniel, have you finished it?
I finished it. I told you guys I would. I am true to my word.
You're a good man.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, since you've seen it last, what did you think about it?
Okay, so the last time we spoke, I was 4 episodes in, and spoilers, Jesus Christ, really bad at this. The 5th episode, you were, Edwin,
Just stop caring.
Excited, I guess, maybe. But the producer, he's told me that we're really bad at it. Gotta put that spoiler thing out. Anyways, hi, Tony. Hope all is well. The 5th episode, you were excited. You know, you were like, ooh, we're going to talk about, like, you know, I think you wanted to bring something up about the 5th episode. And goddamn, was that, like, the most, I want to say heart-wrenching, it was great. That was probably one of the best episodes. Because that poor dude, Looking Glass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, Jesus, the way when it first started, I have to remember that it was the comic book. And so it went to 1985 and I was like, oh shit, they're going back to when the squid fell. All right, that's cool. And Kim and I were watching the Watchmen together. And so she's like, what the hell does this have to do with anything? And I'm like, oh, this is the squid, you know, squid drops and everything. But then it was like, well, who are we following? And then he came off the bus, and right away I knew that was the character that they were going with, mm-hmm. Looking Glass. I was like, oh, Looking Glass. I know this for a fact. I can just see it. And the whole thing of him, you know, having just insecure, and he gets the courage to talk to the punk rockers, and the chick takes him into the fucking thing and steals his clothes, and then the fucking shit drops, and everyone's dead, and he's walking around naked as shit. I was like, damn. And it really just portrayed the whole fact that, like, this poor bastard, you know, you see the hat is, like, in the lining. He's freaking out over the fucking alarm. It was really upsetting. It was like, fuck, this poor dude has PTSD, and he's just trying to live a normal life, and he's got this fucking torment that he's dealing with ever since the fucking squid drop. And then not only that he's, like, you feel bad for him with that, to find out, like, he finds out that it wasn't an alien, that it was.
I know, right? Yeah.
Oh, my God. I was like,
everything you've known since you were basically a kid has been a fucking lie. The thing that has fucked with you and made you who you are is a fucking lie.
Yeah.
Like, it just, yeah, it
the
is.
The reason
it
you
is.
Got your divorce, the reason why you have that problem, the way why you have wear that mask wherever you go. I mean, man, I was like, I couldn't believe it. And then I felt so bad for him. Like at the end of the episode, me and Kim were like, oh fuck, dude, this poor bastard, like, lived this life. And then
Tim Blake Nelson, who's the actor, is just amazing in that role. And he's always so fucking good. And he's just knocking it out of the fucking park. It's just, yeah, it's such a good performance and such a good story. And it goes back to the whole theme of the things where, you know, a lot of, you know, heroes, you know, are heroes because of a traumatic incident in their childhood. And how that can shape you and shape a person and everything. Yeah.
So, and then, you know, at the end, the guys go running in, the Rorschach group goes in. And Kim's like, no, we don't want him to die. And I said, no worries. We don't see him die. We didn't see him die on screen. If you didn't see him die on screen, they're still alive. That's just how it is. And
then what about the Russian? What about the Russian and Sopranos?
Still alive.
Moving on.
Still alive.
I wouldn't touch that just yet.
Spoilers.
Spoilers.
Damn, dude. God.
Bob, this, you're right. I really this, up this.
This episode title, spoilers.
Yeah. And Brian, spoiled everything. Because you watch it, it doesn't mean the world has watched it. Or the 7 people that listen to it. 2 people have watched it.
Let's
it's
see
the
what else.
Fucking Soprant.
Oh, sweet Jesus. Then there was, let's see. I liked how, Dr. Manhattan thing. All right. But
I that did his it. Episode?
Yeah, it was good. It was all right. I mean,
that episode.
That was probably one of my favorite, along with the Looking Glass one. I think the Dr. Manhattan one, showing the, you get to see him experience, because he experiences everything all the time, all in the same time.
Yeah.
So I like how it starts off with the date in Vietnam with Regina King's character, Sister Knight, and and that whole process, and even how it ends. Like, everything is just so well put together. Everything lined up perfectly. And you realize, oh, Dr. Manhattan's responsible basically for kind of everything. Or he knew. He knew what was going to happen.
I'm not saying it's a bad episode. It was a good episode. I'm not saying it wasn't. But I see why they needed it for the last episode, because it ties in. Like, I mean, it kind of gets, it sets the last episode up perfectly to get everything tied in. Because I didn't catch. Like, I had a couple. There's a couple shocks at on the last episode of, oh my god, okay, I see. Oh, now that I should have caught that, or you know. I thought it was a really great great series and a great first season. How it ended was pretty good. I liked how they ended it getting arrested for the murder of the 3 million. And I mean, I just thought it was
Jeremy Irons is so good.
Oh my god! Oh,
And then finding out that, like, his story is told all out of time and out of sync and everything.
It took a minute to figure. Yeah, I was like, I thought they did that perfectly. They did that really well, getting that together. And then a little odd moment was when you see the ship going away from Europa, and it says, "Save me, daughter." I was like, oh, that's so thoughtful. Yeah. Using dead bodies to... right.
It is dark, man. Well, I mean that, yeah, dead bodies. That I like Lady True. How,
yeah,
very scary.
Oh my god, character.
So yes. Good. And her origin with her mom. Remember the beginning of the last episode? Her mom cleaning out Adrian's like room, and that's how you find out, you know,
how Lady stole True. Seed.
Oh man, that was good. I'm like, wow, this show doesn't care at all about anything or anybody. Yeah. Says it right there. And does such a great job.
And I thought it was it was real. Lady True was a very that whole putting that all together was really fucking ingenious. Like, I thought that was really, really well written and really, really well played. The actors, I mean, I throughout the whole series, I didn't have a, this actor is a little too much. Like, they played their roles pretty true throughout the entire thing.
Yeah.
And,
good.
I can't think of, I mean, there wasn't an episode, like I said, I mean, it wasn't the Dr. Manhattan, I think, would probably be out of all of them my least favorite, but at the same time, it's not like an awful least. It's just, I can see, I don't know. I just didn't get in. Like,
it's still
great
TV. It's still great TV. It's still better than most TV and everything, but it's the weaker of the bunch.
Yeah. I guess we could say that. I mean, that's for me. I mean, obviously, you guys.
You're wrong, but.
Oh
no, but I also liked his Looking Glass episode. That's the one where I was hooked. Okay, I like the show, but it was that where I'm like, I don't want this to ever end, even though I know it has to. I'm like, I want to know more. Like, I was
because at that point I thought everyone had kind of known that was fake, because I was still looking at the comic book that New Republic newspaper printed the Rorschach journals, which included the, you know, this is what really happened. And at that point, it's like, oh, nobody knows still. Only the government knows. Oh, right. Shit. Okay. Like, that made it a lot more interesting, because, like you said, this guy, you know, the entire world is like, has been shaped and changed just because of that one event.
Yeah.
And everything. Oh, shit. What was I going
to
say?
And then to save the world again so Lady True doesn't become Dr. Manhattan. Yeah. And I mean, I thought, I honestly, that was, here's, okay. I mean, I don't think Lady True was out for pure evil. Like she said, she wanted set goals that she wanted to do. She wanted to erase all the bombs. She wanted to end starvation. I think those were true to her beliefs. That's what she wanted. Dr. Manhattan didn't really save us like he should have. And I am going to be the one to do it. But like, I'm blanking on his name. Her dad said, like, you
can't, Osbanians.
Yeah. You can't give someone who wants God powers cannot have it because it just won't go well. Like, and you could totally, I mean, it totally makes sense. Like this chick, she's out for great intentions, but you know for a fact when she gets those fucking powers and she can do anything, she's going to go crazy with power.
Well, yeah, she also has some daddy issues as well. She at the same time really wanted his approval. And when she didn't get it, he was like, then I'm going to one up you. And I'm going to succeed with you where you failed.
Yeah.
And it's funny how Jeremy Irons' character realizes my daughter is batshit crazy. I'm going to now save the world by throwing more mini squids onto the street.
That was a hoot. People.
You know, and I like how everybody just became a little bit more darker, but still themselves. Like they had an arc, but they switched it to something else. Like, yeah. You know, I'm not going to kill cats. I'm going to kill cats instead. Mentality. I'm like, whoa. But it was just so entertaining, though.
It's that Spider-Man panel where he's talking to the Pterodactyl guy. And he's like, you could change DNA on the whim. You could cure cancer. And the bad guy goes, but I don't want to cure cancer. I want to turn people into dinosaurs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's it.
But that's some of the day on the way you were talking. I mean, about her. That, I mean, that's some of the best villains is that they don't consider themselves the villain. They consider themselves the hero of their tale. And I mean, that's every great villain is that they're just like, no, I'm the hero. And it's like, no, you're fucking insane. But yeah, no. Overall, I love how when she has the group of the Rorschach villains, and they're just like, okay, just kill us. You're gonna kill us, and she's like, well, yeah, you're racists. Like, just her reaction to that was hilarious. Like,
oh, the sheriffs or the deputies. What is it?
Yeah, the sheriff's wife is just like,
yeah, like just get like, on just, with it. Like, just I'm kill not us. Like, I don't want to hear your lecture.
The Cyclops.
Yeah. I just love the dual identity of, you know, how they, you know, the Hooded Justice, the first, you know, superhero, you know, was actually a black guy posing as a white guy, to get some sort of, to be heard, but then used and be like, we don't want to solve those problems. Those aren't real problems. And it's like, well, of course you're going to be angry at that point. You know, it's that whole, again, the whole series and the subjects that it dealt with and it wasn't afraid to deal with and everything. It was great. I really enjoyed it. And I hope they don't make a second season. I hope this is just like one of those
one-off
series. That's just like,
I think they will.
I mean, it's popular.
Maybe, but no one's really talking about the show though.
There are people that, I mean, some of the podcasts I listen to, like Fat Man on Batman or Fat Man Beyond.
But those are people that look for those type of things. I'm saying the
Entertainment Weekly,
Middle America.
Yeah.
Middle America.
Yeah, I don't know.
Middle America. This is where.
Who do you know in Middle America? They could be talking about it.
I don't hear anybody in Middle
America. I don't hear anyone either.
Damn. You know what? Tony. Does Tony watch it? He's in Middle America now.
Oh. I'll have to ask him if Middle America is talking about it. But no, he told me about that show like when it first came out. And then about Watchmen. He's like, hey, you gonna watch it? I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna watch it. And so that last episode, when I made that joke about, hey, have you guys heard of this show, The Watchmen? And you guys were like, ugh. He he sent me a text. He's like, you motherfucker, I told you about that show. And I was like, it's just a joke. I was messing with you assholes. So it was just a joke that, you know, you guys are telling me to watch it. And then I'm finally watching and go, hey, guys.
You guys ever hey, Daniel. Speaking of stuff like that, you said you've been watching The Witcher?
Yeah.
How's that?
That is really good show. She started watching it, and I go, oh, you're watching The Witcher? I was like, I wanted to see this. And she's like, oh, well, then you probably don't want to see this episode because I'm on episode 7 of 8 or whatever it is. Like, she was on the second to last episode, and I was like, ah, fuck. I was like, all right, well, never mind. And she goes, no, I'll rewatch it with you. So I was like, all right, cool. So we started watching it, and it's a show. It's really good. I enjoy it. I never played the games, nor did I read the books. But I haven't heard anything like crazy, like it's bad or it's like it's an off take of the books. I hear it's pretty true for the most part
for the books or whatever, or to the books. It's more to the books. Yeah, because the books are different from the games. The real popular game was Witcher 3. It always had this kind of cult status with Witcher 1 and 2, and then it kind of broke out of the mold with Witcher 3, and that kind of took everyone by storm. But the books are completely different, and the show, I believe, is more towards the books than the game.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah,
but I think it's a really good show. I mean, it's like, he's a Witcher. What's a Witcher? I don't fucking know. All I know is he fights monsters, and it's
Daniel I don't explains wanna... shows.
Yeah, he's know. He's, he's a mutant, and
fights Mythbusters. Monsters. What are they? I don't fucking know. They bust myths.
Yeah. they get a myth and they fucking bust it. There, problem solved.
Joe.
But I don't need to know about it. Like, the show's telling me the story, but it's not like the first episode is, oh, give you all the info. It's like you're just watching the show and you're learning as you go. And then fifth episode, I'm like pretty confident with knowing what a Witcher is. He fights monsters and he collects money.
Cool.
I learned that from the first episode, but
so it's like The Mandalorian, but with a Witcher.
He doesn't have a baby something. To watch.
Does he have some sidekick?
He does, but the thing is, when you're, I don't want to throw spoilers, but it's not in chronological order, I guess you could say.
Okay. That's what I've heard, is that it gets kind of, the first like couple episodes are a little confusing because it's all over the place time wise, but then episode 3 kind of.
Like, Kim was watching it with me, yeah. And Kim was like, in this one particular scene, she goes, oh, so those two in that painting are the two of that. And I'm like, the fuck are you talking about? And she's like, yeah, because of blah, blah, blah. And I go, oh, shit. And then that's when it hit. I was like, oh, shit, this fucking shit's not even, fuck. I'm going to rewatch it. Because now, starting from, you know, the first episode, I'll understand that, hey, this is not chronological order. And there's like two or three different timelines going at once. And so, yeah. But once you figure that out, it's you kind of, you know, oh, okay, this is how the story's, you know, intertwining and blah, blah, blah. And Superman, awesome. The dude that plays The Witcher, who also does Superman, is a far better Witcher than Superman.
Henry Cavill had the unfortunate task of having a Superman that wasn't really Superman to begin with. It was written by a person who hated Superman.
Okay. So, well, he's I think far he can better be a as a Superman. Grungy Witcher than Superman.
He was also good in that Man from U.N.C.L.E. movie. He's a good actor, and even Mission Impossible, the last Mission
Impossible. I'm not saying he's a bad actor, but...
Well, no, just, like, I think he's kind of got short-changed because of the Man of Steel and Batman v Superman and the Justice League.
I just don't see another person playing The Witcher. But then again, I mean, I never
read. Did you have that question before you watched The Witcher, though?
Well, I was going to say, if I played the book or played the game... Maybe I would be like, oh, so and so would be a better Witcher, but like, I don't know, he's a good Witcher. I like him.
Okay, well, that's good. Well, that's good.
You should watch.
Yeah, Edwin, you have anything else that you've been watching or anything like that?
I was sick, so I just watched kind of like family friendly movies. I watched Shazam, Toy Story 4. And this is not a family movie. John Wick, Chapter 3, Parabellum. Yeah.
What'd you think of Toy Story 4?
Toy Story 4. You know, it was kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
There's stuff that I liked. I feel like how the movie starts with Little Bo Peep.
Bo Peep. Yeah, Bo Peep.
It starts with her, which is great. And then it leads off to a Forky story. Then it leads to Woody story. And then leads to the Gabba Gabba story, which, by the way, I liked.
Yeah.
Gabby. I liked her. I thought she was creepy, even though I don't know if she was supposed to be or not.
No, it's her dummies. It's her henchmen that were creepy. That were like, you know, just
right.
Like,
which I like.
Center that were just like, yeah.
Yeah, the movie has everything. I mean, it literally has action sequence, a horror sequence, a serious sequence, nostalgia sequence, new characters. I mean, but I feel like in the end, I'm like, I don't know what it's really trying to say here. Not to say that that's why I watch these movies. No. But it was just so much, like, overcomplicated it with plot. Like, yeah. Woody wasn't really Woody. Oh, and Buzz was more of an idiot.
Yeah.
Kind of. Like, listen the to yourself. Characters, a lot of the characters took a step back so we can introduce the new ones, which I get because you have to sell toys. But it was weird. But
the scene where... Go ahead.
No, but I did like a few scenes. Like I told you, the Gabba scene was great.
Yeah.
Some of the characters were funny. I guess I didn't think Forky was going to be in. I thought Forky was going to be in it for the whole entire movie, which he wasn't. So he didn't really bother me all that much. But it was all right.
I thought the Keegan-Michael Key and Jordan Peele rabbit and chicken scene where they keep giving plots about how we're going to get those keys.
Yeah, that was like, funny.
Yeah, that how they just a little lady driving and just by herself, and then they just kind of rise from the bed.
Yeah,
like that whole thing was funny. And then how'd you get these keys? And it's just she throws the keys by him. And...
oh, very complicated.
Yeah,
the end shot was really good. It was the best looking Toy Story out of all.
Oh, it's a gorgeous movie. It's a real gorgeous movie. Oh, they've come around with that. What about
any of them die?
Huh? No.
Any of them die?
Oh, no.
Of course not.
None of them.
Oh.
But here's... spoiler.
When does Toy Story 5 come out then?
But hold on. You guys saw it, right?
2025.
I know Brian.
Yeah, I saw it.
I felt like toward the end where... Spoilers. Where Woody decides to... Okay, I'm not going to go back with you toys. I'm going to go now... I let Andy go or Bonnie go. I'm going to now be with my girlfriend, doll. And live my life, which was weird for Woody, but at the same time, he's actually now helping other toys have owners, which is kind of like a Woody thing to do. But the way they played it off is if, okay, this is goodbye to Woody. We're done with this character now. Like, they kind of made it set up that way to me. I'm like, why are you doing that? There's no, what? Woody's not going anywhere.
So they can have Toy Story 5?
I know, but it's not like you don't...
Bringing
you
Woody can, back?
I mean, okay. Then he comes back, so it's pointless to say goodbye.
No. Because it's Toy Story 5.
And? What is that?
Bringing Woody back.
They're not going to bring Woody back. That's what it seems like.
Okay. Toy Story 5.
Then why say goodbye? Like, he's saying goodbye. I mean, I just don't get it.
I kind of look, like I said in the previous podcast that I talked about it, it seems like it's a, this is Woody's retirement. These movies have been kind of like the jobs of an older guy, like a new upstart. The first one was like a new upstart guy comes in and tries to take your spot. And then the second one was realizing that. Yeah, same thing.
Yeah, I mean, now it's more of his.
Really, it's more of a story about, like, you know, oh, there is a life other than this job and working and such. And then the third one is, you know, okay, I'm retiring. You know, I don't need my boy
that
anymore.
That felt like a retirement. This movie was kind of like
how you deal with retirement.
Like, even the beginning move, the opening was very weird. Like, it kind of just was forced to introduce the characters that we know, and it's feel like passing on the torch. Okay, you old generation people that have been watching it, this isn't your Toy Story anymore. Now we're going to give it to the new kids, the new fresh of kids, because we're adding new characters, and they're more diverse.
But I'm 30 years old, and I want my Toy Story.
So, there you go. So, it was more like passing on the torch, and like, all those, and those types of movies pisses me off. Because again, there's not one solid theme. Just like Star Wars, they didn't commit to anything.
Hashtag not my Toy Story.
Or any, just, it's just weird. I don't understand.
I don't know. They could have just ended it all by letting them die in the fucking trash place.
I agree. And that would have been much better.
That would have won Best Picture
Academy. And it was nominated.
It was nominated. Also the same year, Social Network.
That's the only way they would have won, is if they killed everything off.
Yep.
What about Shazam? Did Shazam piss you off?
No. I didn't think it was great either. It was simple again. Yeah. Like, again, very simple movie. It kind of reminded me of Spider-Man Homecoming.
It reminded me of a movie, if I saw it at age 12, I would have absolutely loved.
I did think that. Like, you know what? If I was like 11, this would be my movie.
This would be this generation's Home Alone.
Exactly. It did have that feeling of it. And like Big and everything else. But yeah, I mean, it was okay. Yeah, a kid's movie. It's like Big Hero 6. Like very like kind of like that.
Yeah.
I've never seen that one. It was all right.
That's good. What about John Wick 3? You hope they... I haven't seen John Wick 3. I haven't even seen John Wick 2. Fuck.
I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of the John Wick movies, but this one was very entertaining. At least the first like 45 minutes. I was hooked. Very violent. I was impressed by the action sequences, though. Just because I know that a lot of it was practical. They even got the guys from the raid. So the fighting scenes were pretty good. There is a lot of fighting. If you really like action, this is your movie. The plot is very simple.
Just get all the assassins against John Wick.
Yeah, kill John Wick, basically. That's all it is. And I'm all for simple stories.
Exactly.
And the action scenes were great. There was a good knife scene, a good motorcycle scene. John Wick on a horse was very impressive. There were some like dog on human attacking action, which is really good. Oh, yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah. If you like dogs, you know, biting humans,
I'm all for it.
Yeah.
That's my YouTube feed.
Yeah, a lot of shotgun to the face, like everything to the face, constantly. It did kind of feel like a video game, but it looked good. Music was great. It wasn't that long. I liked it. It's not like the best movie ever, but when it comes to action, like this was really good. It was very, very violently good, and it's kind of weird how far we've come from action sequences. Since I started watching them as a kid in the 80s to now, like, whoa, very violent. But this one was very well done.
Yeah. No, exactly. I think that's one of the benefits of, I think, from Mad Max Fury Road is that you're seeing a lot of practical action effects, heavy movie coming in. And John Wick kind of came in and did the same thing. And it's nice to see. It's nice to see these, like, simple action films that are you know, simple story wise and just like, hey, this is all you want, action that's done really cool, here you go. I hope it's a trend that continues.
Yeah, but done in a entertaining way though.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, Keanu Reeves doesn't really talk much in the movies. I feel like he talks less in this one, just going, mm-hmm. yeah, like maybe four times, and that's it. That's all. He doesn't say anything else, but for some reason it worked for me this time around. I'm like, oh, I like
yeah, it. Yeah, I think I'm going to do that.
See, he doesn't do those.
He doesn't do that either?
No,
he doesn't,
no. Oh. No.
It's bread and butter.
Other people do it, say it for him, and he just has to answer, yeah.
That was the whole, I remember that was the first, in the trailer, the first one. It was just like, people keep asking me if I'm back. And yeah, I'm back.
Yeah, cringing. Yeah, he doesn't, it definitely makes you realize, you know, I think after watching three, you don't have to watch one and two.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they progressively get better. So yeah. One is okay, two is okay, pretty good. Yeah. And then three is like, okay, we know what this is. We know our strengths. We're going to give you
will
a bunch
the same of action. Be said? Will the same be said for Bill and Ted 3? Bill and Ted Face the Music.
I'm going to let you, based on what you just said, like the title of the movie, I'll let you answer that for yourself, sir.
That is actually probably one of my more excited movies this year. Bill and Ted Face the Music. Hell yeah. I'm in. Produced by Steven Soderbergh. Because those movies are great. Debate me. Anyway, anything else, guys, you want to talk about? Are you still there?
Let me see. I'm trying to think. No, that's cool. It. Just The Witcher, Watchmen.
Cool. All right. Well, I'm going to call it then. Yeah, I've been kind of watching the same thing, and that's really it. Just Clone Wars and whatnot. No movies as of late. But I think that'll do it for us today, gentlemen and listeners. Please, if you haven't already, please subscribe to Rewind, Replay, Record. Some changes might be coming in. Maybe a new theme song or two. I don't know. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at Rewind Replay Record so you can get more up-to-date information and such. And reach out to us. Ask us questions. Send us comments. Do you like what you're hearing? Do you not? What would you change? And all the answer to that would be, who gives a fuck? It's free. Deal with it. Anyway, be sure to follow us. Rate, review, and subscribe. And all that jazz. Any parting words or anything, guys?
Make sure to write 2020 on any forums. It takes me like a month to get really used to all that. I'm slowly getting it, though.
Yeah, I hear that's a big thing nowadays.
Yeah, due to my job, I've been, I'm actually kind of in the future, so I've been doing 2020 a lot lately, to where I was doing 2020 and 2019, and it's kind of the reverse thing. It's really I'm glad we're in 2020 now, so I don't make any more mistakes. But yeah, that's what I'm thankful, I guess. But yeah, thank you again for listening, and I can't think of how to end this, so hey, just keep streaming.
Ooh, that was good.
Damn, good. Fuck you, man.
No, that was a good one.
That was good. Yeah, it was good. I thought
the last one was shit, but that was a good one. But that the one before that was far better.
It's the same thing.